very outgoing, very gregarious, loved people, all kinds of people. He was not judgmental. He liked people.
Rita Colville talking about her son, Scott.
He didn't worry that much about what other people thought. If he wanted to wear shoes without socks, he wore shoes without socks. And it didn't matter that that wasn't the fashion at that time.
Sitka resident Scott Colville disappeared sometime around his 26th birthday, April 12, 1988. He and his then-wife Jane had moved to Sitka following their wedding the previous year. For years after Scott's disappearance, his parents wondered what happened. Rita Colville says part of her thought something bad happened, and another part of her hoped that Scott had just decided to lay low for a while.
You know, at that time there wasn't internet access. You didn't do that type of thing, and you contacted people by letters or phone, and we wrote letters, but not daily or weekly, you know, and we made phone calls, once a month, you know, and it was kind of, you don't hear from somebody, that means everything's okay, and if something happens, you call, you know, and we would call periodically, I'd say about once a month, and, but we always knew where he was and what he was doing. He'd never done anything like that before. And, you know, by the time a year came around, it's like, no, this just isn't in character. Unless I totally misread him in all those years and totally misread the relationship, you know, the parent-child relationship, this wasn't right.
Disappearing for an extended period of time was out of character for Scott. He came to Alaska after getting tired of school, but the plan was that he would eventually finish his degree. He wanted to be a teacher. And even though Rita suspected that the worst was true, she still held out hope that Scott was out there somewhere.
Maybe he's still alive, you know, and you see people, you catch a glimpse of a profile or a face and, you know, you know how it is, where you think you see somebody that you know and then it's not. Or you get a phone call and there's obviously somebody on the line, but nobody says anything, you know, and you think, you know, your heart kind of, you know, and you wonder. And now the feelings are relief that there's some sort of resolution to the whole thing.
And relief that she didn't misread her relationship with her son. It wasn't that he didn't want to talk to his parents. It was that he couldn't. The Alaska State Troopers Cold Case Unit has been in touch with Rita on and off for about 2 years. She says they'd call when there were significant developments. In a phone interview from her home near San Diego, she told Raven News, as she told other media outlets, that the breakthrough in her son's case is a miracle. In 22 years, Rita Colville says she's learned to cope with not knowing what happened.
You know, things happen to people, unfortunately, terrible things, and nobody's immune, nobody's exempt. You can't say, why me? It's, well, why not me? We don't know why. We don't understand it. You just have to learn that that's part of living, and you accept it. Doesn't mean you like it.
Scott's then-wife, Jane Lim, now stands accused of his murder. Rita says her son's relationship with Jane seemed normal. After Scott disappeared, Rita says she spent years having feelings towards Jane that, in her words, were not kind and loving. But after a while, Rita says she let those feelings go.
It simply harmed me. It ate away at me. Didn't bother her. It didn't resolve anything, so I had finally turned it over to God and said, you know, I don't know. I can't resolve it. It's in your hands. You deal with it. You take care of it. If you want us to know, let it unfold. If you don't, give us the courage and the wisdom, strength to say, okay, you know what's best. You're in charge, and I really believe that.
It's important to note that both Rita Colville and prosecutors emphasize that Jane Lim has only been indicted, and that she's presumed innocent until proven guilty. Lim was picked up earlier this month in Oswego, Illinois, and is currently awaiting extradition to Alaska.
She ruined so many lives. If indeed she's guilty, and I realize we all are presumed innocent, and I personally don't think that she's innocent, but I think that's what the court, you know, that's why the court system's there. But if indeed she's guilty, I feel so sorry for her because I can't imagine what her life has been like all these years either.
Reporting from Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.